For tape, CDs, this from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, September the 5th, 2015. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of this service, teaching on Deception, the Antichrist Spirit.
You can be seated. Carla, you can...
Well, good morning. Okay, let me pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I bind religious spirits, I bind the Antichrist spirit, I bind lying spirits, spirits of confusion, division, the spirit of offense. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Spirits of prejudice, deaf and dumb spirits, seducing spirits, deception, ancestor worship, man-pleasing spirits, spirits of idolatry, anger, hatred, murdering spirits, and the spirit of fear. And I loose the spirit of truth, revelation knowledge, the Holy Spirit, and ministering angels, ears to hear, hearts to receive, peace, mercy, and grace. Amen. I've got a couple of teachings here on deception. The first one was the importance of knowing God's Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The second part was on false prophets and those having a false anointing. If you didn't hear those and you're interested in them, you can find them on LHBCOnline.com under my name. It's a little commercial. Today, well, about the false prophets, the scriptures were from Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." And I used to think that meant there would be people coming saying they were Jesus. But Christ means the anointed one. There will be many coming saying, "I am anointed," and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, the name of Jesus. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Thank you, Jesus. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. These were very serious words spoken to us by Jesus. Today, the third part, the third installment, I guess, on deception, is from 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The definition of Antichrist is an opponent of the Messiah, Antichrist. Those words were written in 1 John 90 to 95 years after Jesus was killed, after he died and was resurrected. It's not talking about the Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 2:22. Now he's going to tell us what these Antichrist spirits are. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, or the anointed one of God, or the Son of God? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So here he is telling us that he that denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is a liar and an Antichrist, or has a spirit of an Antichrist. 1 John 2:23, whosoever denieth the Son, listen carefully, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. See, it's a package deal. You can't have one without the other. 1 John 2:24, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. John suggests to us that we should have those things abide in us, what we heard from the beginning. That's how we shall continue in the Son and in the Father. 1 John 4:3, it says, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Lord showed me that it's not the falling away from faith that causes us to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, but it's giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that will cause one to fall away from the faith. So we must be very careful what we give heed to. The word seduce, or a seducing spirit, is an imposter or misleader, a deceiver. Seduce means to draw aside or entice in any manner, to tempt and to lead to iniquity, to corrupt, to deprave, or to entice to surrender, entice to a surrender. So today this message is not only to inform, but it is to warn. I'm speaking from my heart this morning as Jesus spoke in Matthew 24:4, take heed, beware, that no man deceive you. Now I'm going to tell you about this prop. You've heard the expression, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Well, I'm going to be talking about some things today that I never wanted to touch with a 10-foot pole. I'm serious. This is a hard message for me to give. God gives me some hard things to say. Well, there's the 10-foot pole, and I'm touching it. I've talked to many pastors and teachers that share in the same things that God has been telling me, but they will not say it because it's not going to be a popular message. It's going to step on some toes. So I'm bringing this word to you today in fear and trembling, literally. Not of God. I'm not in fear and trembling of God. He's the one who told me to give it. But rather my brothers and sisters in Christ. The church, the body of Christ. When Jesus spoke to his brethren, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to throw him off of a cliff. They said he had a demon. They claimed he blasphemed God by claiming to be the Son of God. They said he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. They were the religious folk. Why did they hate Jesus? Because he spoke against their traditions. Mark 7:6, Jesus said, and he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition, making the word of God of none effect. That's what tradition will do. It makes the word of God have none effect. My mama said to me one day, why then do so many Christians go to the doctor then? I said, because it has become man's tradition. We take our spiritual needs to the church or to God. We take our medical needs to the doctor, our physical needs to the doctor. We take our financial burdens to the bank. Tradition, it will make the word of God have no effect. It's dangerous. When God commissioned me to teach, it was through Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. Well, I didn't put this one above it, but when he spoke to Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, I can't do that. I'm but a child. Well, what I said was, I can't do that. I'm a woman. He said, and let me tell you something funny. Back in the day when I was still very religious, if a woman got up to the pulpit, I would pick up my stuff and walk out. Can you believe that? And now look where God has me. Thank you for not walking out. Okay. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a woman. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And then in verse 17, it says, thou, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So you see, fear and trembling, I'm more afraid not to speak what God has given me because I don't want to be confounded. I'm going to talk to you today about the Jewish movement flooding into the body of Christ. God has been speaking to me on this subject for about 9 years. I've been continually confronted with this, and I would have never chosen to bring a message on this, but it's time. But please hear me. Please hear me. I am not speaking against the Jewish people or the nation of Israel. Don't misunderstand what's happening here. And as I go on, I hope you will see what I'm talking about. When I started talking to Mike about, I think it's getting time to give this message, because God's had it on my heart for quite a while. He said, well, honey, you know the only problem is there's going to be some people that are going to take it that you are anti-Semitic or anti-Jew. I said, I know. I know. I think that's why I haven't given it yet. When I'm cooking, doing something else, I heard the still small voice. And you know, I was even struggling with the title. What am I going to call this? Yeah. This is what I heard. This doesn't have anything to do with being anti-Semitic or against the Jews. This has to do with anti-Christ. And I thought, that's so true. Thank you, Lord. That's the title. It's the Antichrist spirit. Because I don't want any of us to have to hear the words that Jesus speaks in Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1, and to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that held the seven stars in his right hand. Remember we talked about the right hand the other night. Who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We need to return to our first love. Jesus, the same who said, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called him, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose name, surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, in the beginning, Jesus was sent to his own people. He was sent to his own. The Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews. Of Jesus, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. Remember what was written in 1 John 2:23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not Father. That's the Word of God, not me. That's the Word of God. And he that denieth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is a liar and an antichrist, or has the spirit of antichrist. Jesus said of the Jews, Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Mark 15:10. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. This is talking about Pilate. But the chief priest moved the people, the chief priest now, moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas, the murderer, to them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. You can hear the whole crowd. Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto him, Why? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, that's dangerous, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Here is a very good example about why not to be a people pleaser. In the same account, in Matthew verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Then it says, See ye. And then in italics it says, To it. See you to it. No, I think that's really what that meant. I am washing my hands, and I want you to see. You see that I am washing my hands of the blood of this man. You know what they all yelled? Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. That sounds like a self-inflicted curse. Then Paul to King Agrippa, in his testimony of his encounter with Jesus and his conversion, Acts 26, verse 12, Whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, see, he understands your language, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. See, now the Jews rejected him, so now Jesus is going to send Paul to the Gentiles. For this reason, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So now salvation is sent to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Supposed to have been for the Jews, but they rejected him, which is the spirit of Antichrist. 1 Peter 2:3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, speaking of Jesus. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Isaiah 28:16, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. See, the Gentiles weren't even, they were not even considered a people because they weren't Jews, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, it speaks of Jesus as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus caused the Jews to stumble. He became a rock of offense to them. Have you ever noticed that people can mention the name of God and talk about God all day long, but you mention the name of Jesus, it'll get you in trouble, maybe even in jail. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Romans 10:13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring the glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? You've been setting up my messages so nicely. I should have you come everywhere with me. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. Ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. Now, see, Isaiah was speaking for God. He was the prophet, and he spoke and said, I was found of them that sought me not, speaking of the Gentiles. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. See, the Jews are still waiting. They're still waiting for that Messiah, the Savior spoken of in the Old Testament. Some have believed, and that's wonderful. Some have believed. Praise the Lord. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And again in chapter 11, What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. That's what he said, that he was going to use the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Jealousy? How is God going to make the Jews jealous? By his goodness to us who believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, as Christians, we should be so joyful, so prosperous, so healthy, so peace-loving, and so blessed that the Jews would be chasing us down to know our Jesus. And yet, what I see are Christians turning to the traditions of the Jews. What's happening? When I was saved 39 years ago, I was in the Christian church. I was in the Methodist church. I didn't hear or see a whole lot of things. But then when I was an adult, sought out my own church, non-denominational, eventually. I had never, even in those churches, heard of a prayer shawl. Have you? Back then, 20 years ago? Never heard of a prayer shawl. The church is full of them today. I had a lady tell me recently that she was praying for this woman who was so full of fear, just trembling all over. And she was telling me this. And she said, and I laid my tallit on her, and she settled right down. And I said, you put your what on her? My tallit. I went, I don't know what that is. She looked at me like I was from Mars. Honey, a prayer shawl. Oh. See, I don't want to touch any of that with a 10-foot pole. I just will go, oh. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you think a prayer shawl has any power, it's witchcraft. When I got saved, and for all many years after that, I'd never heard that Jesus' real name was Yeshua. And that's what we ought to be calling him. I had a man tell me at a meeting recently, you know, you need to start calling him by his real name, Yeshua. And I said, it was already there. I thought, oh, here we go again. Okay, Lord, I'm just going to bless him. Thank you for sharing that. You know, that's what I would do. But God said, no. So I had to give him what I had. I said, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I've been walking with the Lord for 39 years, and we've been pretty tight. And I would think that if it bothered him for me to be calling him Jesus, he would have told me by now. I'm sorry. I am not knocking the name of Yeshua. That's Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not a Jew either. I bind the spirit of offense again. I'm just telling you. Deception is very slick. And if it's going to be so strong that if the days weren't shortened, no flesh would be saved, we better be on the watch. All those years ago, I had never heard of a Messianic Jew. Never. There were Jews and there were Christians. If you were a Jew and you got saved, you're not a Messianic Jew. You're a Christian. You became a Christian. Why can't you call yourself a Christian? If I had been an atheist and got saved, I wouldn't call myself a Messianic atheist. I'm just saying. I'm real simple. I mean, it's real simple to me. It's black and white. And for years, I could never get the church channels. Years ago, when TBN and all these other channels started, you gotta watch. Well, I tried my best. I went down and bought the little UHF thing, and Mike hooked it up, and it would never work. And I'm thanking God for that today. I might have sat there and been spoon-fed who knows what. I had to dig for myself. I wanted to know God. And this is where I went. You know what? There's a scripture in here that says, narrow is the way, wide is the gate, narrow is the way. You see how wide this is? This is how you get in. It's the only way you get in. We better stick with this. That's where I went to know my God. but the church channels that I never could get. And then cable came in, and, you know, satellite TV. Oh, boy, now I can get the church channels. You know, what? Well, some years back, many of the church channels, just about all of them now, because they caught on, there's money in this, man. They started selling their bottles of anointing oil from Israel with the Jewish star on it. Hot dog, it's more special than any other anointing oil in the world. Made from the same recipe that God gave to Moses. Well, I guess they didn't know about the scriptures in Exodus 30:33. After he gave Moses that recipe that it was to be used by the priest, he said, "Whosoever compoundeth any like it shall even be cut off from his people." That doesn't sound too good, does it? And then he gave him another recipe for the perfumed oil in 37, Exodus 30:37. "And as for the perfume which thou shalt make," that's with the sweet spices and the frankincense and all that other stuff, "ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof." And I always wondered when people would anoint me. I'm telling you, that oil took on a life of its own. I couldn't get it off no matter how hard I scrubbed. It made me sick to my stomach, and I don't know why it was so offensive to me. But now I know. Now I know why it was offensive to me. We're not supposed to be making that stuff. When I told my mama to go ask her preacher to anoint her with oil, she said, "Well, what kind of oil?" I said, "Motor oil, baby oil, cooking oil. It doesn't matter what the oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit and the power of God." I'm serious. My husband's so oily, I'll be glad when he travels with me. I can just swipe his head. Nah, I'm being silly. But that came to my mind one day. I thought it was kind of funny. I wouldn't have to carry a bottle, honey. I'd just swipe your forehead. Verse 38. Well, it says, "Ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people." Uh-oh. Now y'all know why we ask, does anybody have any oil that's not perfumed? And the selling of prayer shawls. I was flipping through the church channels the other night before we went to bed, and the next morning Mike is awake before me, and he turns on the weather channel first. But it was already on the church channel, and what do you know, right there bright and early in the morning, a Christian teacher with her prayer shawl sprawled, her highly decorative prayer shawl. I thought, oh my goodness, man, it's everywhere. That's something that the Jews use, the prayer shawl. And then I had a friend that joined a Messianic Jewish church. "Oh, you've got to come. Oh, you're just going to love it. You've got to come." And I went, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. I was sick to my stomach the whole time I was there. All this Jewish stuff all over the church. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're going backwards here. No. She called me one day. "How do you feel about a mezuzah? What do you think about putting a mezuzah on my house?" I said, "What is a mezuzah?" "Well, it's symbolic of the blood of Jesus, and you put it on your doorpost, and the death spirit has to pass you by. So we're going to put it on there so you can stay healthy. If that's what it's going to do for you, that is witchcraft." If you're trusting in something other than Jesus Christ, you are asking for it. Now, I'm not saying this is why she's dead, but she died with cancer. About 2 years after this, she put it on. She put it on there. They're selling all this stuff, and they're making millions off of this stuff. Y'all remember an old saying, if everybody else went and jumped off the bridge, would you go jump off after them? Did you ever hear your mom or daddy say that?
Yeah.
Well, people are jumping. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. That's what they're doing. You're just being bought. I went to a friend of mine. I was flying in from California, and my flight landed in Houston at like 11:30. So I had a good friend in Houston. She said, well, why don't you drive to my house, leave your car, I'll drive you to the airport, I'll pick you up at the airport, you can come back to my house and spend the night and leave the next morning. Sounds like a plan to me. So she picked me up at the airport, we got there late, we're going into the back door of her house. She said, listen, in the morning I've got to go somewhere early, sleep as long as you want to, here's the key, just lock the door on your way out. So I'm managing my suitcase out her back door. And my spirit went, oh, that's what it feels like when the Holy Spirit in me, just like I said the other night when that witch was in the airport, it's kind of like, and so the Holy Spirit points things out, but my spirit went, oh, and my flesh woman went, what? I'm looking all around. She had a mezuzah on the back door of her house. And this is, I mean, a spirit-filled Christian woman. And so, when I left her house, I texted her, we need to talk. So, she called me. What's up? I said, when I was leaving your house this morning, my spirit jumped, and I looked around to see what it was jumping at. And there, you have a mezuzah on the back door of your house. She said, oh, yeah, I know, I didn't put that there. Well, who would you let put that there? And she said, the house, it was a brand new, big house. The house was built by Orthodox Jews. And it was on there when we bought the house. And I said, you better get your oil and go through that house and anoint every doorway, and drive out the spirit of Antichrist out of your house. What? Carla, those are God's chosen people. I said, yes, they are. But they rejected his son. That is Antichrist. Now, in the end times, they're going to play a significant part, as will the nation of Israel, who we love. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We love them. But they have denied Jesus Christ. Remember the scriptures I read at the beginning? The Antichrist, he who denies that Jesus is the Son of God, a liar and an Antichrist. Why do we want to take up their traditions? I've been in Christians' homes. In fact, I was doing a Bible study, and where I sat in her house, I could see a menorah on a special shelf in a special place, and it was like a tormenting demon the whole time I was there, just pecking. And I finally had to ask her about it. Well, I didn't ask her about it. I started the teaching on deception. I did it there first. She got rid of it after she found out the truth. The candlestick, or the menorah, is the centermost symbol of Judaism. Now, I don't know if you know much about Judaism. I didn't bother with that. People doing this, if they want to do that, that's... But you know what? When I was confronted, and someone would call me and ask me a question, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to study that out. And I'm not even interested. But I studied it out. Judaism. a religion developed among the ancient Hebrews and marked by belief in one God, creator, ruler, redeemer of the universe, and by the moral and ceremonial laws of the Old Testament and rabbinic tradition, conformity to Jewish rites, ceremonies, and practices, cultural, social, and religious beliefs and practices of the Jews, the whole body of Jews. You notice there's not one mention of Jesus because they deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They do not believe Jesus is the Messiah. They have a spirit of Antichrist. As for salvation, they are lost. And in order to be saved, must receive Jesus Christ just like we did. Those who have gotten saved, I've already said this, call themselves Messianic Jews. Actually, they are Christians. When I look at the terms Messianic Jews, it's like an oxymoron. They're like contradictory of each other. It's a mixture. But even when they come in and become Messianic, see, that word Christ is not in there. That bothers me. Christ is in Christians. Christ, followers of Christ. It's a mixture. They want to incorporate some of their Jewish traditions in the Christian religion. This is what the verse about the wineskins are all about. Matthew 9:16. No man putteth a new cloth onto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Let the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. This movement is bringing a mixture into the body of Christ, and God's people are in danger of being led astray, maybe even Judaized. You may even walk right into Judaism and not even realize it. Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Ephesians 2:1, and you he hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, at one time, the Jews were on the inside with God, and the Gentiles were on the outside. They rejected him. The Gentiles received him. Now the Jews are on the outside, and the Gentiles are on the inside with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Isn't that awesome? In Amos, God rebuked his people. Amos 5:21, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of Moloch. That was the chief deity of the Ammonites, the god they sacrificed children to. And Kiyun, an idol to an heathen deity. He said, but you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and Kiyun, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourself. What star is God talking about here? Well, it's called the Star of David, the symbol on the flag of Israel. It's also mentioned in the New Testament. Stephen confronted the Jews with it in Acts chapter 7. You need to read the whole chapter. It's very revealing. I'm going to read Acts 7:43. Stephen, you know, Stephen, he was faithful to his Jesus. He stood. He took a stand. Acts 7:43, Stephen says, yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, who was an Egyptian god, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. It's called the Star of David, the symbol on the flag of Israel. And I was flipping through the church channels one day and saw a convention, and they're waving those flags in there. Now, I know we are to stand with Israel. I'm all for that. But this is going beyond praying for the peace of Israel. It's being waved in Christian gatherings all over the place now. There's a church down on Central going toward town. And out, it's a Christian church. I don't know what kind it is, but out on their thing, that, you know, pictures changes. It's like advertisements. It's flat, like a television screen. It's flashing. And every once in a while, the big blue Star of David is there. Do you know where that symbol came from? Well, I had to search it out to answer some questions. You may have to do some homework. I'm not going to tell you all about it. I had to do it. The symbol of the star was brought in by Solomon when he was king. You know Solomon. He started out really good. Let me tell you, there are a lot of prophets and teachers and preachers and people who have started out really good. They have huge followings. Hope they don't go on that bridge. They started out really good, but as we read in the beginning, it's how you end. 1 Kings 11:1, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. He married the Pharaoh of Egypt's daughter. They were Baal worshippers. Talk about a mixture. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Egypt was a totally godless nation, in case you didn't know. Idol worshippers. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, who was a Phoenician goddess of love and fertility, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. He turned to idol worship. That's what we have to be careful of. Idols and worshiping idols. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. He built the high place. You know, when you read in the Bible, see, I grew up in a little city named Groves, Texas. And I always saw this in the Bible. And if there wasn't a grove, they planted one. You know what they did? They planted trees as a covering, and that's where they would go and put up their idols. Their false gods. They would worship and have orgies out there, thinking God couldn't see them because they were under the trees. You know there are people that stupid today? Thinking God can't see them. 1 Kings 11:8. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. He built a high place for them to do that. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. He left his first love, which had appeared unto him twice. All his wives were Baal worshippers and practiced dark arts. The star was among one of their symbols. And Solomon embraced it. And then he cooperated it in with Israel. Did you know that same symbol is used in the Masonic temple? It's also a symbol found in the Mormon temple. Because Joseph Smith was a Mason. One time my son said something, you know, my oldest son joined the Mormon church. Temporary. It's temporary. He's coming out. God already showed me. In fact, he said, don't worry about how he's going to leave. They're going to kick him out. Yay! Like that even better. I said something about the symbols of the Masonic Lodge. Mom, the Masons were there long before Jesus. I said, that's the problem. Jesus came along. They didn't embrace him and acknowledge him. They still, you know, it's all about God. And then they use terminology from the Bible for these guys and they want to go in there and join that lodge. And they hear some, they're not very deep Christians. They don't know the word. Let me just say it like that. They don't know the word. Because it's a mixture. They're mixing witchcraft and all kinds of stuff with the word of God to deceive the people. Oh, I think that's in the Bible. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible. This has got to be good. You better know the Word of God. Did you also know that it's one of the symbols on the yoga chart of chakras? See, I didn't want to know all this stuff. I had to study it out. It's also on the charts of satanic signs and symbols. And now it's making its way into the Christian church. A symbol of a nation that has rejected Jesus Christ, a nation with an antichrist spirit. Yes, pray for them. The best way we can pray for them is to bind the antichrist spirit, that they might receive Jesus. You know, I have a nephew. He was adopted. I didn't find out. Okay, let me back up. He was adopted. He was raised in the church. At 13 years old, he decided he wasn't so sure about all this Jesus stuff. He wasn't going to pray anymore. He didn't want to go to church. His parents made him go, but, you know, just made him mad. But now he's like 30-something. And when he was when he was 13, his mother told me what he had said. And she was devastated, just like I was when my son said, I don't want anything to do with your lifestyle. I mean, it just crushes a mother's heart. I don't know if I believe all this Jesus stuff. 13. Well, when he was about, I don't remember how old he was, but I learned that his birth parents, in his bloodline, his grandfather was an Orthodox Jew. And I thought, how interesting that there was Judaism in the bloodline. And 13 is a pivotal age for Jewish boys. They're bar mitzvah. Well, he turned 13 and something spiritual happened in him. I thought that was interesting. When I found out about it, well, I started finding the Antichrist spirit in the name of Jesus. And I don't know what the time span was, but I didn't say anything to his mother. I didn't say anything to anybody. I just went to God with it. I'm lifting up Patrick, and I bind that Antichrist spirit that came down his bloodline in the name of Jesus. Well, later his mother told me, guess what? He called me, and he told me that he's praying again. See, prayer is powerful.
Amen.
And breaking, binding these spirits is powerful. That's how we can pray for the Jews. Start binding the Antichrist spirit over Israel and over the people. Now I'm going to go back to Stephen's speech in Acts 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. They had a spirit of Antichrist. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. We may have to do this someday. Looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. See, you mentioned Jesus, the Son of God. Said, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran on him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Of course, this was before his conversion. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin. Remember the forgiveness Meryl spoke of. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They killed him. I think his spirit left his body before they ever killed his body. Jesus said in John 16:1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he does God a favor. I think we've heard enough. You think? Here are some things that God said about his chosen people through his prophets. Jeremiah 3:8, he called them backsliding Israel. 3:22, backsliding children. In Jeremiah 3:9, he said they committed adultery. Jeremiah 3:1, they played the harlot. Jeremiah 3:2, polluted the land with their whoredoms and wickedness. Jeremiah 4:1, the Lord pleaded with them to put away their abominations. Jeremiah 5:19, he said, you have forsaken me and served strange gods. Jeremiah 5:6, transgressions, your transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. Jeremiah 5:3, made their faces harder than a rock and refused to return. Jeremiah 3:20, surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Paul warns us in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There's the key. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Not follow that prophet or that prophet or that preacher or that. Follow me, he said. Follow himself. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Word of God is. We need to be careful. Look to the Word of God for your guidance. Look to the Word of God. I'm not only concerned with the Jewish movement that I see moving into the church, but there are many other forms of deception that are opening the doors for greater deception. Nowhere in the Word do we see Jesus or his disciples laying around on the floor, listening to music and soaking. That is Christianized Hinduism. They meditate. They clear their minds. You better be careful clearing your mind. He said, be sober. That means alert, attentive, and watchful. It's another mixture. And there's demons attached with those things. Nowhere in the Word do we see Jesus holding an importation meeting or a fire baptism meeting or having fire tunnels, throwing fire balls. My goodness. Nowhere in the Word are we told to consult angels. Nowhere in the Word are we instructed by Jesus or the early church not to pray unless we use a prayer shawl. Nowhere in the Word are we told to have a menorah in our house or put a mezuzah on our doorpost. But some of these things are leading Christians into out and out witchcraft practices. I can hear Paul, even today, saying to the church that he said to the Galatians in 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Amen. Yes, I'm concerned for the church today. All these things were types and shadows of Jesus. Then Jesus came. And he fulfilled all of those types and shadows. He replaced them. The prayer shawl, all those little, and the tassels, and all these things that they are so enthralled with. Jesus is that. He's all we need. Listen, when I was a little girl, I couldn't wait to be a mommy. So I played with baby dolls. Those baby dolls were a type and a shadow of things to come. But what's going on in the church would be like me in hanging on to all those traditions. Would be like me growing up and having a real baby and preferring the baby doll over the real thing. I pray that you have received this word in the spirit that it was given. And that is out of my love and devotion to Jesus and my love for God's people. I don't want you to be deceived. So if you'll stand up, we're going to pray a prayer of repentance, and then we're going to cast out some spirits, get some more freedom, make more room for Jesus in there. So just repeat, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for leaving my first love and chasing after things that fascinated me and appeal to my flesh. Forgive me for taking part in practices that I thought would make me more holy when you are my holiness. Forgive me for playing the harlot and chasing after other gods, those with false anointings. I ask you to forgive me if I have unknowingly committed spiritual adultery. Forgive me for listening to the voices of others instead of your voice. Forgive me for being so hungry for you that I've eaten everything that's been fed to me when some of it was not you. Okay, you can sit down. So after you've repented, you've got to get out. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I cover every one of us here with the blood of Jesus. I call on mighty warring angels to assist, to take the demons wherever you would have them go, as long as it's out and away. Right now, I bind the spirit of Antichrist in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, I break your power, and I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. Spirits of whoredom, go. The whore's forehead, go in the name of Jesus. Wickedness, abominations, and rebellion, go. I bind you and break your power and command you to get out. Hard-heartedness, go in the name of Jesus. Generationally inherited spirits of Antichrist. See, we don't know what our ancestors were into. I bind all generationally inherited spirits of Antichrist and I break your power and command you to get out of God's people right now in Jesus' name. All the generationally inherited spirits of Antichrist that came down through the mother's bloodline, I break your power and command you to get out now in Jesus' name. And I give leave to the familiar spirits. I bind and break the generationally inherited spirits of Antichrist that came down through your father's bloodline. In Jesus' name, I break the power, I command them to go, and I give leave to the familiar spirits that came down your father's bloodline. All generationally inherited religious spirits, I break your power and command you to come out of God's people. Inherited religious spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the power of the Antichrist spirit. I break every oath, covenant, and dedication that was made on your behalf when you were in the loins of your forefathers. In Jesus' name, I call down fire from heaven right now to destroy the altar that Satan has erected for your life. I cancel his plans for your life. I bind and break the power of all lying spirits, spirits of error and deception, seducing spirits. I bind you and break your power. Seducing spirits, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Doctrines of demons, doctrines of devils, you go in Jesus' name. I break every, I bind and break the spirits of the false prophets. I command the spirits of the false prophets to come out of you right now in Jesus' name. And false teachers, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break every false anointing that you have received through impartation. I break them now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of everything imparted to you that is not of God. I break the power of those anointings. I cancel them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray this with me. Father, I break evil soul ties with anyone who laid unholy hands on me. I send their souls and spirits back to them. And I call back my soul and spirit to myself. Cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to heal my mind and restore my soul. And I give leave to their familiar spirit in the name of Jesus. Okay, now I'll do this. So I bind all Kundalini spirits right now. I bind all Kundalini spirits that came in through impartation and the laying on of unholy hands. Kundalini, you go in the name of Jesus. I break your power and command you to go. Get out of God's people now. Manifest and go. All shaking and jerking and flailing and drunkenness and serpentine spirits, trance spirits, false prophecies, false visions, false words, you go. Get out in Jesus' name. All false words that were spoken over you, all false words that were spoken from you in the name of Jesus, I break them now. I break all false tongues. I bind and break the power of false tongues and command you to go. All Leviathan spirits, get out. Leviathan spirits, go. Stiff-necked rebel spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to all animal spirits that were imparted into people. I bind you and break your power. I command you to get out in Jesus' name. All spirits of false gods, you go in Jesus' name. Witchcraft spirits. All spirits of witchcraft, I bind the spirit of the prince of the power of the air that works rebellion and disobedience in God's children. I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All controlling spirits, I break your power and command you to go. Go in the name of Jesus. Spirit travel. Spirit trap. People are being taught how to spirit travel. That's this witchcraft. Go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of spirit travel off of you in Jesus' name. All divination, go in the name of Jesus. Divination. You know, sometimes you can walk up in front of a false prophet. You think he's the real deal. And you've got something on your heart, and he starts telling you what's on your heart. Now, that's a God thing, but Satan can also do that through divination. A lot of people have come out of the occult. They haven't had deliverance. Now they're preachers, and there's a mixture there. You have to be very careful who you let speak into your life, and you have to be very careful who you let lay hands on you. In the name of Jesus, I bind and break the power of all divining off of you in the name of Jesus. By false prophets, I blind the third eye of the medium and the entrance of Kundalini. They do it on the forehead. They'll touch you and there it goes. Serpentine spirits, Kundalini spirits cause you to jerk and things are happening that you're not. I mean, that's demonic. I break all of those manifestations, all demonic manifestations off of you in the name of Jesus. I command them to go. I break their power. I blind the third eye of the medium. I blind that third eye of the medium in witchcraft. Even generationally inherited third eye, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of blasphemy, get out in Jesus' name. All backsliding spirits, go in the name of Jesus. I bind the kingdom of darkness in you. I bind the kingdom of darkness and every spirit from the kingdom of darkness, get out of God's people right now in Jesus' name. Now, I bind all backlash and retaliation because, you know, the devil, he doesn't like it when you hear truth. And he's going to come and he's going to torment you and he's going to try. We're going to bind that right now. I bind all spirits of backlash and retaliation from the enemy because of hearing this message and because of being at this camp, because of receiving deliverance in the name of Jesus. I break it. In Jesus' name, I covered you with the blood of Jesus. I call the angels to come stand around you shoulder to shoulder that no evil can penetrate. I close and seal every door. Every door. I close and seal it in Jesus' name. And I call you back to your first love. I loose upon you the spirit of truth. I loose upon you faithfulness to God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I speak to you a renewed passion for your first love, Jesus. I loose upon you a hunger and a thirst for God's word to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, who is Jesus Christ. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that if I have offended anyone here today or over the airwaves, I pray they will forgive me. But Father, I would rather offend them than offend you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And Father, I bless the food. We thank you for it. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name and bless the fellowship that we have over the food. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.